For all of the policy talk about education that happens in communities around America, learning, the imparting of essential knowledge to young people to make them citizens, that takes place right here in real schools like the ones in your neighborhood. A middle school in Tampa, Florida, in the classroom of teacher Dawn Norris.
Remember, when we talk about claim evidence, that's what I was asking you to give me. Claim evidence could be summarized by saying what? What is claim evidence in a paper? Kyle?
The evidence, it explains your claim.
It explains your claim. So what kinds of things would you use as claim evidence?
As we peek into classrooms around the nation this week, one of the issues at Monroe Middle School in Tampa is adopting the curriculum called the Common Core. It's happening all across the country, a shift to a more structured discussion and logic-oriented approach to the teaching of writing, math, and history. John O'Connor covers education for State Impact Florida and WUSF in Tampa. He says Monroe has a lot of low-income students, and because it's located near MacDill Air Force Base, there are a lot of military families as well. O'Connor says the Common Core seems to be a good fit for Monroe right now, and you can see it and hear it in the classrooms he spent time in.
A lot of the teachers I spoke with, and this is specifically in the Tampa Bay region, say it's a significant difference for them. One of the major things is that they feel like they have to give up a little control over how the lessons actually develop in the classroom, so that their job is to set the conditions for the class, set the goal for their students, and then kind of let the students get there on their own. And so when I sat in on a couple of language arts classes, the way that worked was that the teachers came in, gathered the class together, got their attention on the lesson of the day, had a kind of class-wide exercise, and then immediately they broke up into smaller groups, and the students worked together on their assignments, which the assignment was to kind of discuss fairy tales as they were told around the world and the various differences. And so the lesson was, you know, point out some of these differences, tell us, compare and contrast some of these fairy tales, and then put together an essay about it.
You know, it can be a challenge for an outsider like yourself to figure out what's going on. Here's Dawn Norris, Common Core teacher at that Monroe Middle School.
What I've noticed in my classes now is they're loud, and that's okay. Where in the old days, it was, no, you wanted that silent classroom. But the more they talk, they're all on task. They're all working on that same common goal. And that's what I think I love so much about Common Core. My room went from quiet to very loud within just a few weeks, probably.
Doing and engaged is very different from chaos. I think that's the lesson there.
Absolutely. And a lot of the teachers tell me the same thing, which is it seems like we're doing less work, but in fact we have to do a lot more work because we have to do a lot more thinking ahead of time. We have to put the kind of embedded structure into these lessons so that the kids just aren't off going in various directions wherever they want to go. They need to go towards whatever the goal is for the lesson. And in this case, they were very focused on read this text, tell me what the text says, and then make an argument backed up with things that you've learned from the text. And that there was a very clear backbone to what this lesson was in the days that I spent in these classrooms.
And that's part of what's new, as you discovered from middle school teacher Christina Phillips.
4 years ago, there wouldn't be any text in a writing assignment. It would simply be a prompt, and we would probably have kids writing a lot more anecdotes. Now they have to use the text. You know, it's what's expected at the higher level.
So fewer memoirs about how badly my parents are treating me and much more sort of text-based analysis of real writing.
Absolutely. The way I've kind of tried to characterize it in my head is it's less about what the students think and more of make an argument. And obviously, I think we understand that when you make an argument, it's a much more formal process of, you know, stating what it is you want to say and then backing it up point by point by point in kind of a structural, formal way. And, you know, that's what the teachers say their goal is in these lessons.
How does this Common Core approach overlay the, you know, very big disparities in achievement and talent and aptitude in a lot of classrooms around the country and the ones that you took a look at?
That is the kind of big unanswered question, and one of the reasons why we wanted to spend a lot of time in classrooms this spring to try and get a grip on that. The advocates for Common Core will argue this is a good thing if you're a poor student. This is a good thing if you're a student who maybe moves around a lot. Sometimes those are poor students. The middle school I went to has a high population of military students, so children of military families. So they move around a lot as well. And so what the argument is that Common Core provides a blueprint for school systems, for schools, and for teachers so that everybody's kind of on the same page and they know how to get from point A in kindergarten to point B, which would be producing a high school graduate who is ready for college or ready to enter the workforce and find a job that they could support a family with. It's unclear whether it's going to work that way or not, whether kids are going to be left behind. I spoke with former Baltimore City school administrator, a district administrator, I should say, who feels like it will work. She said, for the first time, the teachers in the schools felt like, okay, here's what the map looks like. Now we know where we have to go and how fast we have to do it. But you talk to a lot of teachers who also say that when you're dealing with kids who live in poverty, who don't have enough to eat, they're going to be left behind. And if you look at the Florida testing that we have now, there's a certain percentage of kids who can't pass the test now. So if we make the test more difficult, which is expected to be the case with Common Core, how are those kids going to advance?
Well, in the early going, there does seem to be some confidence in having, as you say, a map. Here's Monroe Middle School principal Kenneth Hart.
Well, I think the bottom line is that levels the playing field. It will not penalize the youngster who's in a mobile population. It will not penalize the youngster who comes from a military base in Kansas or where, and again, I'm not criticizing Kansas, but it will not penalize that youngster.
But John, is this standardization, is the argument against the Common Core that making standards too rigid really will ensure that some people are left behind?
It is a concern. I think what the advocates argue is that this structure is necessary, that, if you are in third grade in Florida and you're going to be learning fractions, and if you move to another state with Common Core in third grade, you'll still be learning fractions. And so that kind of consistency will be helpful. The concern, too, though, is that it becomes too rigid and that schools don't have enough flexibility to kind of address the individual problems that they see within their own student populations.
Was middle school over your head at all when you were sitting in the class? Did anything about the curriculum intimidate you?
No, although it was really fascinating to me to see middle school kids doing things that I felt like I didn't get to until I was in high school, which was really interesting. I also sat in on an algebra class. And the algebra class felt much more familiar to me. It seemed much more like when I was in middle school and in high school taking math classes.
Well, so that's a little comforting anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
John O'Connor covers education for State Impact Florida and WUSF in Tampa. Thanks so much, John.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.